vibrant, healthy, smells good, appealing to a bee because it gets all that wonderful stuff. Actually, it's for the nectar. The pollen is what the flower, you know, trades off with them, but it's the nectar. It's the beautiful stuff. What makes a magnet attractive to steel? Power, the chemical dynamics of that particular whatever it is, and I'm not a you know, scientist, but you know, there's a certain type of chemical, or not chemical, it's a charge that goes on with it. And so steel, you know, is attracted to that. You ever had a weak magnet? Try to stick something up on the refrigerator and it slides down. And it's ever, it's a weak magnet, you know, kind of wimpy magnet. But a strong magnet, you can. How many's ever had a magnet where you can hardly peel it off of whatever it's attached to? Strong magnet. Yeah. Yeah. Did you know that this baby boy, she's trying to figure out how to turn this thing off. We got a little, Mary, did you know? Yeah. That's what it was, Mary, did you know? I just thought I'd throw that out there. What makes a person highly attractive? Maybe their looks, maybe their wealth, maybe their personality. You know, their intelligence is other things. Yeah. You know, kindness. Yeah. All those sort of things. Highly attractive. You know, you don't, I mean, you like to be around people that are opposite of that, you know, mean and all that. No, you like to be around people that are, you know, attractive. It's a very attractive. A smile, yeah, all those things. Well, then what makes a church highly attractive? Friendly, okay. That's what we're going to look at this morning. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47, there's four things that are in these scriptures that will speak to a highly attractive church, and then there's the one thing after that that is the result of that being a highly attractive church. So let's start off, Acts 2, 42. If you're there, let me hear you say, praise the Lord. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Well, there's four things that are there even in that little verse right there. And what this is, and if you're looking at it, Acts 2:42, that's the internal awe. Internal awe, A-W-E, internal awe. Now, how many came this morning expecting something from the Lord? Okay, the rest of us maybe didn't raise our hands. Maybe we did, and we just don't want to raise our hands. But have you ever come to a church service where it's just, here we go, checking off the list, got to go to church, not get to, but got to, and never come with an expectation? You ever been into a place like that where you just kind of had to go? You just went? You didn't come with an expectation. There wasn't an awe. There wasn't a sense of, I've got to go because I have got to find out what God wants to speak to me this morning in that corporate gathering. I got to get into his presence. I got to be there. And that's what these people were doing. They had this internal awe. The word devoted is the key word there. There was a devotion that was there. And they devoted themselves to four things. The first off was the apostle teaching. In other words, the word of God. A highly attractive, healthy church is one who is devoted to the word. All right? A highly attractive, healthy church is one who's devoted to the word. You're taking notes, write it down. The next thing it says that, and to the fellowship. The fellowship. Now, we can say that, that's, you know, that's when we break bread together. And all. That's not what this means. It means to the body of Christ is what that means. It's to the fellowship of believers. They were devoted, in other words, to coming together, to forsake not only assembling of yourselves together and to come to church. Every time the church doors were open, they were there. Every time there was a gathering, they were there. They were fully devoted to the body of Christ and not to anything else out in the world. Their number one devotion was the body of Christ because we are the bride of Christ. And as a bride, we're fully devoted to our groom, correct? And we're not sharing ourselves with anybody else or anything else. They were fully devoted to the fellowship. They didn't let anything get in the way. Now, it's not that we come to church and, you know, I got to go to church. It's a get-to. It's a priority thing is what we're talking about. So a sign of a healthy, attractive church is one who is prioritizing the body of Christ, the church. The third thing in verse 42 that they said is they were devoted to the breaking of bread. Now we look at that too and we think, oh, they ate together. Well, yeah, that's later on in the description. What does this mean? It means that they were devoted to the things of the church in the sense of breaking of bread. That's communion in this way. They were having taken communion. In other words, the fundamentals of the church. And what does the breaking of bread represent? It represents the death and the body of Christ and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, doesn't it? So if you take this in its fullest sense, they were devoted to Christ. They were devoted to his work. They were devoted and totally dependent upon his salvation. Not on works, not on anything else, but they were devoted to Christ and to the body of Christ, to his work on the cross, to salvation. They were fully devoted to and dependent upon Jesus Christ as being their Lord and Savior. And then finally, fourth, in that verse, they were devoted to prayer. Prayer. They were fully devoted. A sign of a healthy, highly attractive church, folks, if we can get this internally, these four things, we're fully and completely devoted to God's word. We're fully and completely devoted to the church of Jesus Christ as the bride. And then we're fully devoted to Christ, who is the bridegroom. And then we're fully devoted to that vehicle that he gives us to communicate with him through prayer. By the way, we just got finished praying, not just in the prayer, but also through the music, because that's a form of prayer. It's worship. Prayer and worship is kind of an expanded version of it. Prayer and worship, it's a communication to God. That's all it is. It's just that communication to God, that relationship, that vertical thing that's going on between us and him. So that's that highly effective, healthy church in the first verse right there. That's packed right there just in that one verse. That's internal. But then the second thing that we look at in verse 43 is this. It says, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. This past Wednesday, we were looking at, in the married couples class, we started a teaching on being a spirit-dependent people. Spirit-empowered, spirit-dependent people. And one of the comments that was made in this little video that we watched as part of the teaching was from a gentleman who said that about the Holy Spirit, in fact. He said that the Holy Spirit is generic. Now, pay attention to this. The Holy Spirit is generic in its inflow, but it's specific in its outflow. Now, let me just give you an example, an illustration of what that means. All throughout this building, there is electricity flowing, access and available to us. It's generic in its inflow. We happen to turn on light switches, sound equipment and all, and it's utilized in that way. But there's some outlets here that are, some of them are not being used. There's some things in the kitchen and other sorts of the parts of the building that are not being used. But if you plug something in, something would come out, wouldn't it? If you plugged in a blender, it'd be a blender. If you plugged in a toaster, it'd be a toaster. If you plugged in a, you know, a hair dryer, it'd be a hair dryer. So a specific outflow takes place depending on what's plugged in. You see, we depend on the Holy Spirit, and it's a generic inflow. So just as this building is, so we are. The inflow comes in because it's the power of Jesus Christ. It's available to all, and he inflows into us very generically that says, here's the power. Now that he flows through you and flows out from you in a very specific way. I can go all across this congregation and tell you how God is, and you can tell me how God has specifically used you in particular ways in your life. Now, that's not to say that that's the only way that he uses you. But he uses you primarily in certain ways, doesn't he, in your life? You've seen that time and time again. It's a specific outflow. And so as we were looking at this in verse 43, as it relates to this, the second trait of a highly successful, highly attractive, extremely healthy church is an external awe. We have the internal awe of what's going on in here. But folks, we got to take it out there, right? Now, we can say, hey, man, there's healing and there's wonderful salvation. There's all kinds of deliverances, things going on inside of the four walls. But there's stuff going on outside too, based on if you continue to read the book of Acts here, where they're getting outside and they're just laying hands on the sick and demons are being cast out and some pretty incredible things are taking place. That external awe is what we need to look at in our lives. So here's the word that I want to give you that really speaks to that. And again, this is from this past Wednesday, and I thought I'd just expand this out and share it with you guys. It's the word exceed. Write that down. Exceed. Exceed. So here's the thing. The Holy Spirit in you makes you more than who you are by yourself. Very simple phrase, and I know we understand and believe that, but let me ask you this. How is that going in your life? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to exceed in you above who you are as just Jane or as just Bruce or as just Brian or whoever? We have the Holy Spirit in us. It's that generic inflow. But then the specific outflow is something that we have to choose to allow to happen. We can stifle the Holy Spirit. We can shut him down. We can ignore him. We can disobey him. We can miss the opportunities that God wants to do through us as the Holy Spirit is in us, flowing out from us and touching lives. And it doesn't have to be profound ways. I mean, really, it doesn't have to be, you know, it says signs and wonders were taking place. So what does that mean? Well, does that necessarily mean a big meteor flying across the sky or somebody being raised from the dead? I mean, those are pretty extreme signs and wonders. But what about if you just touch a life? As you're, you know, as Stephen, you mentioned something on Sunday, you know, this past Wednesday, the guy at the gas pump. You know, there's a guy at the gas pump. Well, you're just pumping gas. There's a guy next to you, and you just strike up a conversation. You just never know when those signs and wonders are going to take place in and through your life in very natural, organic, day-to-day, run-of-the-mill times and things that you do that are supernatural in nature, that will change a life forever. The conversation you have with that guy at the gas station was timely, for example, because maybe he was going to go home and commit suicide. He was contemplating it, but that conversation that you had with that lady that was checking out groceries at the grocery store, or your student, fellow student in your classroom, changes their life. It changes the trajectory of their future and their destiny because you stopped and allowed the Lord to exceed through you what you would not normally do in your own strength. That's what the external awe was all about, that was going on here, and God wants to do in and through us today. Are signs and wonders still being accomplished in the world today? Yes. Does God want to do it through you and me? You betcha. But we have to allow it. We have to give him place. Exceed. At the end of this year, 12/31/16, my prayer for you and my hope for you is that from where you are right now to then, that you will exceed. And you do that by allowing the Holy Spirit to flow out from you in a very specific way, powerful way, that changes lives. The third, highly attractive, healthy church, sign of a highly attractive, healthy church, is found in the next verses, verse 45. Verse 44, it says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Now, at first glance, you would think, well, that's socialism. But that's not what this is talking about. They didn't sell everything that they had and put it in one big pot and everybody, you know, was even. They sold as had need. So here's the third highly attractive sign of a healthy church, sharing. Sharing. Now, when we get to, when we grow up, and I don't know about you, but I'm still learning this. I'm still learning how to share. But when I was a kid, mine. This is mine, you know? And most of us, a lot of us grow up physically, but we never grow out of that mentality of mine. I earned it. It's mine. You can't have it. Go get your own, you know? And especially in our culture, we're very individualistic, you know? But based on what this is saying right here, God is telling us in the new church, they saw the needs that were going on and they shared. Now, Jesus actually spoke to this in Matthew chapter 10, where he says, among other things, this key phrase. He says, freely you've received. So freely, ooh, really? Rats. Let's try that again. Freely you've received and freely give. That hurts, doesn't it? It makes our pocketbooks clench just a little bit. We grab a little tighter to our purses and our wallets. Ooh. You know, God has given you time, talent, and treasure. All of us have the same amount of time, and then the rest of us have different talents and treasures. And God is asking you to give of yourself in that way, sharing freely, the glad heart. In fact, here's the three words that I want you to put down as far as this is concerned. We need to give gladly. We need to give liberally. And we need to give regularly. Gladly, liberally, and regularly. Why? Freely, you've received. So freely give. Freely, you've received. Did you earn your salvation? Did you? No. It came freely, didn't it? Everything that you own right now, do you own? No. What are you instead? You're a steward of it, right? You're a steward of it. That's all. You don't own it. You can't take it with you. So we all have 24 hours, we all have different time, and we all have different treasure and talent. So freely you've received that. God birthed you to be the beautiful, wonderful, talented, great person that you are. And they, in the book of Acts, looked around and said, you know what? God has blessed me. I want to sell what I have. I want to make sure that you're not doing without. God has blessed me. I want to make sure that you're not lacking in any area of your life, whether it be emotionally, physically, relationally, financially, whatever. We as the body of Christ, we share. Whatever that is, we share. And that's kind of what's going on when you see these tables around. People that are heading up these different ministries, they're sharing their time, aren't they? Every week, they share their time to say, I'm going to lead in ministry. They're sharing their talent. God has given me a passion, a desire. I'm going to share that. And we give to the body of Christ. And I look around all across this congregation. We're all sharing. We're doing well. Let's keep it up, because that's a sign of a highly attractive, healthy church. People are going to come in and go, oh, there's something going on here. I want to be part of it. Finally, the fourth thing is found in verse 47. Verse 46, I mean. It says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts, and they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Now, there is the friendly fellowship that we're talking about. In fact, I called it joyful unity. Joyful unity. That's the fourth sign of a healthy, highly attractive body of believers. It's joyful unity. These people went out of their way to plan things to get together. I mean, they worked. They said, what are we going to do? And when are we going to do it? What you doing tomorrow? Hey, think about that. They met every day, it says. Every day. And some of you are going, dear God, help us. They met every day, not only in church, but they broke bread together every day. And I know what you're thinking. I'd be sick of them after. Yeah. You know, this is what this is really community. This talks about community. And we live in a community. It's called the community of Rock Hill. You know, most of us live in whatever community you live in, community of Fort Mill, the community of Indian Land, the community of Waxhaw, some of you in the community of Charlotte. We live in a community in the sense of definition, but really, we don't really live in a community by its true definition. Because a true definition of community means that we know one another. Let me ask you a question. We care for one another. Let me ask you a question. How many of you, you don't have to give a raise of hands, it's just a question you ask yourself. How many of you who live in a neighborhood know the neighbor that lives next door to you? You don't have to raise your hands. I this is just between you right now. Just think about it. How many knows the neighbors around you? All the neighbors. You know, if you live in a neighborhood where there's left, right, front, sides, all, I mean, you know your neighbors. See? I would say that some of us, maybe half of us, maybe most, I don't know, the majority, don't. You live in an apartment complex. You live in a townhouse. You don't know your people. You just don't. I'll go even one step further. How many of you in this church who, wherever you're seated, the people that sit about three or four rows in front of you, and they've done it for the last 6 months, and you know the back of their heads, you can tell them, you know, you got it memorized. You got the back of their head memorized. But you don't know their name. You've never met them. You know that they go to your church. You worship together, but you don't know them. You know, you might recognize their face if they turn around and say hi to you, but that's about the extent of it. You know, hi and bye as we come and go. But we don't really know one another, do we? Now, we may, but I think that we can do better. I think we're doing well, but we can do better. And we have these opportunities to do that. Every Sunday morning, we meet for donuts and coffee. If you want to go in there and grab a donut and coffee, gather around and chat. We have Wednesday nights where we get together for meals as well. We're just breaking bread together. We also have this. We also have small groups on Wednesday nights. We also have the ladies' Bible study. We have the Royal Rangers and girls' ministry. We have the youth ministry. We have all these different things that are going on and all these tables that are represented around here. Everybody, all these tables, Bible training camp. Everybody gets to go to the Bible training camp. All these things that we have. And you look around at all these tables, it's an opportunity. The Jabez Quilting Ministry. I mean, on and it goes. Outreach and evangelism. Got the kitchen ministry, got the trustees over here, all these things. And this opportunity for us to have fellowship with one another while we roll up our sleeves together and do the work that he's called us to do and share and give. That's what true community is. And it's joyful unity. They were glad about it. So we don't do it begrudgingly. We don't do it because we have to, but we do it with a smile on our face, with a gladness in our heart. And that's what real community is. And that's a highly attractive, healthy body of believers. And you know what the result is of these four things? The internal awe, the external awe, the sharing, and the joyful unity. You know what the results are? It's found in verse 47. It says, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, the Lord added to their number daily those who were what? Being saved. Those who were being saved. In other words, those four things, if they're functioning well in a church, internal awe, things are happening in here where we're growing in the Lord. We got his word. We're exercising, we're functioning, you know, honoring the body of Christ with one another and placing that as a priority. We're exalting Christ as our means of salvation, and we're communicating with him in prayer. That internal awe, the external awe, was signs and wonders are following those who believe, and great things are taking place in the community day to day at the gas stations and the schoolhouses and the neighborhoods and all that. External awe, where we're taking what's going on here outside, and then we're sharing with one another when no one should lack in this place in any way, shape, or form. No one should lack in any way. We share gladly, liberally, and regularly. And then we take the time to have a joyful unity of really getting to know one another in that real community. It brings addition. It just brings addition. That's the word, addition. The Bible says that the church was added to daily, those who were being saved. 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 equals addition. All of those things equal adding to the church. It has to. It will come naturally and automatically. You know, this past week, the lottery was finally won by three people. Amazing. You know, they split $1.5 billion. Now, how many, unless you were under a rock, how many did not, you were probably under a rock, how many did not know about the lottery thing? Couple of people maybe didn't know about the lottery. Okay, you were under a rock, or you were so focused on what you were going. It was the thing, man. It got the nation's attention, didn't it? Now, I don't play the lottery. Never have, never will. I don't believe in it. I don't think we should. It's gambling. We got to be careful with that. That's my opinion, and I think I've got some strong support with that in God's word. Don't waste God's money on the lottery. The chances you win in the lottery, you have a better chance of being hit by a meteor twice than winning the lottery, okay? Now, you invest in God's church in this soil here, give your lottery money to God's kingdom. It will come back to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. I'm going to tell you, a guaranteed jackpot. You want to know what the guaranteed jackpot is? Tithe. Invest in God's church. Give of your 10%. Give. Sow the seed. You'll get it back. How many did not win the lottery this week? Yeah, none of you, okay? And if you played the lottery, you just threw your money down. You paid the dudes in Tennessee and Florida and California, whoever those people are. Congratulations to them. You might as well just walked up to them and give them $5 or whatever you paid. But you sow that same money into God's kingdom, into this soil, and it will come back to you pressed down, shaken together, and running over in every way in your life. Don't be a fool with your money. Be a good steward with it and give into God's kingdom. And let's tithe. But you know, the things about it is in the lottery, except for the couple of people that were in there that didn't know about it, most people noticed. And it became a highly attractive thing to people that said, oh, I'm going to get rich with this. And then they decided that they wanted in. The people that normally didn't play the lottery, I promise you this week, they probably, people that normally didn't, did. Because it was so highly attractive. They gained some clients because it was just, you just couldn't resist it. You see where I'm going with that, with the church? You see, when things like these four things that I was talking about are taking place on a regular basis at the Church of Jesus Christ, people will take notice. And it will become a highly attractive thing to them. And then they will want in. Just like the lottery, but only better, because there's eternal dividends. That's what God wants us to do at Faith Assembly and the Church of Jesus Christ. That is the four signs of a healthy, growing church body. Father God, help us today in this, that we would walk it out. Help us, Father God, to be internally struck with awe, that we wouldn't just come and check it off of a list. But may we come with an anticipation in awe of you, your word, your presence, your people, and you, Jesus Christ, that we would stand in awe of you. And then that we would take that awe and go out from here and let signs and wonders follow those who believe, that people will be in awe of what's going on in and through our lives, that internal generic flow that comes out externally very specifically as we go through our day-to-day. Father, help us to release of our time, talent, and treasure, that we think that we own and we don't. It all belongs to you. You own everything, and we give it to you. Help us to share gladly, liberally, regularly. And then, Lord Jesus, as we have true community, help us to really get to know one another in this place, and that we would joyfully be unified in true community as we are, and we're friendly and we're kind and loving towards one another, truly being the body of Christ. As we do these things, Father, I thank you that it's automatically going to be that your church will be added to daily, those who are being saved. And then the cycle begins again with those that come in. Father, we call them in from the north, south, east, and west. Help us to do our part. And then I know that as we do those four things and really focus on it, then you'll do your part and add to the church. We plant and water, you bring the increase.